baby!
Final segment of the night, final segment of the week, right here on That 590 Show. I hope wherever you are well. You're having a great time. Game four between the Cleveland Cavaliers and Golden State Warriors is about 20 minutes away from tip-off, and I think that this smells like a blowout. I think Shane Young's right. When he was hanging up, he said Warriors by 19. I don't think he's going to be too far off on that one. I think this has blowout written all over it. I think Cleveland, I think they're done. I think they're exhausted. And I think Golden State knows, hey, we're not going to let what happened last year happen again. I mean, I know it's a little bit different. It was 3-1. This is 3-0. No way we're going to let this happen again. And what would you rather be known for? Going 16-0 in the playoffs or going 73-9?
You know what that is, I smell, Burger? You know what that is I smell?
What's that you smell?
It smells like handles and bristles. It smells a lot like handles and bristles in yeah. Cleveland tonight. That's what it smells like. I agree with you 100% on this one.
I think it's going to be ugly. I do. And I feel bad for LeBron because I know that he really has no peers. He's chasing Michael Jordan. He's chasing ghosts.
His fault.
What's that?
It's his own fault.
And it part of it is his own fault. And I think that we may be seeing the window closing on his way to get championships. He may win one more.
Oh, we're seeing the window closing on this Cleveland run. He'll reset and reload. He will. We talked about
it
yesterday.
I'm seeing it is possible for them to get Paul George. It won't be easy, but it will be possible for Cleveland to get Paul George.
No, I mean not in Cleveland. Paul George ain't going to Cleveland. Paul George is going to Los Angeles.
Okay, but
it's
rather
whether or not LeBron's joining him in purple and gold.
I would rather play with Kyrie Irving than with Lonzo Ball.
Nope.
You're crazy.
Nope. I know what Kyrie Irving is. I don't know what Lonzo Ball is yet. He could be better than Kyrie.
Okay, that makes it even crazier.
He's going to be better than Kyrie Irving, Matt Berger. Come on now.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Lonzo Ball is not going to be better than Kyrie Irving.
He's going to be a better
player. I will bet you right now.
He's going to be a better player for 2017 and as a sidekick to LeBron than Kyrie Irving is or was.
You're out of your mind.
Kyrie Irving's not a good player to compliment LeBron. He dribbles the ball into the because when Kyrie Irving on possessions when Kyrie Irving wants to score, LeBron does not touch the ball. Kyrie Irving makes a decision and the ball sticks with him and he either scores or he won't. That's not the kind of player LeBron plays with well, and also I don't think it's the kind of player LeBron wants. Because first of all, when you
LeBron went back to Cleveland because of Kyrie Irving.
I don't think it was because of Kyrie Irving at all. I think it was because one, we've never met somebody other than of Michael Jordan who's as apparent of his legacy as LeBron James is. I think him and Michael Jordan have been two of the most aware of how they are perceived, him and Michael Jordan. And so LeBron didn't go back because of Kyrie Irving, he went back because of the number one overall draft pick that he could swing for whoever he wanted.
Yeah.
And the
that
fact
was Kevin Love.
And the fact that his legacy had to be done in Cleveland. I'm not saying that Kyrie wasn't a part of it. I'm saying that Kyrie Irving isn't a perfect player for LeBron. I'm sorry, you have a point guard who's that talented, and yet LeBron is still making comments halfway through the season about how they need another playmaker. I'm sorry, that's not a comment that should be coming out of your mouth when Kyrie Irving is your second fiddle.
Would you say that Kyrie Irving is a good NBA player, even a great NBA player?
Of course he's a great NBA player. But he would be better. He's a better player in a 2003 league.
Would you say that you know that for sure, that Kyrie Irving is a great NBA player?
Yes, I know for sure.
Okay. What do you know about Lonzo Ball? That
he's perfect for today's NBA.
Look, Lonzo Ball may turn out to be a fantastic NBA player, but what I'm saying is you don't know. And LeBron doesn't have time to groom Lonzo Ball into this great NBA player that
LeBron
you need.
LeBron also, because of what the Warriors did, LeBron does not have the luxury of just making the decision on paper right now. He's got to project. He's got to make the smartest move for a year or two now after one more free agency cycle. Because whatever team he goes to, they will not be – whatever team he goes to, even if they do sign Paul George.
He's going to take like a wait-and-see kind of approach with the Lakers.
Not a wait-and-see necessarily one, but one that where he's aware of the fact that it's going to take a year before they can compete with the Warriors because they're the Warriors and they still have Kevin Durant. And LeBron's going to be smart enough to realize that even with Paul George, he can't take on the Warriors. And so maybe he goes to a place that actually has young players coming up in the system. That's another thing with Cleveland is, why would he leave Cleveland? Because they – we know what Cleveland is now, and we know what Cleveland will be for the next 3 or 4 years. No,
I don't see how this the Lakers are a better option than what Cleveland is.
Not
because of Lonzo
they're
Ball.
They're not a better option. They just have more options as an option. It's the fact that they can do things. The fact that they have young players that other NBA teams might want. I mean, I'm just saying, my point is that what Cleveland is now, you're not getting better than that. I'm sorry, you added a guy who's a 430 three-point shooter, and he's doing nothing for your team against the Golden State Warriors and Kyle Korver. My point is that this Cleveland team is maxed out, and clearly that this Cleveland team's version of maxed out is nowhere close to being enough for LeBron to continue winning titles. And so, on the surface, is he taking a downgrade by making that move? Yes, but because of the potential, having young players like D'Angelo and Julius Randle that they could trade, and plus having a top draft pick in Lonzo Ball, also Brandon Ingram, don't forget about him, they could trade him too because obviously he's
okay.
Very similar to LeBron and Paul George. The fact that they have young players that they could move, something that Cleveland doesn't have, they have a top draft pick in this year's draft, a great draft by every measure, even if they're not going to get Markelle Fultz. I'm just saying is that maybe LeBron has to swing for the fences a little bit on this one. Because he's not going to be able to compete in any other way, shape, or form. Unless he's okay with going to 10 more finals and just losing all of them. We know what this Cleveland team is. I'm not saying it's the smart move. I'm not saying it's the obvious move. I'm saying it might be the one swing that he has because he's not competing against the Warriors with any team in the NBA right now. He's not. There's no roster construction that can convince me.
The Ballman bottom feeder texting in, is this first take or that 590 show? I agree with Matt, though. LeBron ain't going to L.A.
I'm not saying he's going to. I'm just trying to figure out my big thing is I'm trying to figure out a way to make even an NBA Finals. I've given up making the first three rounds and the regular season competitive in the NBA. I'm trying to figure out a way to make the Finals competitive. And obviously, this wouldn't make the Finals competitive because he'd be in the West, and so it would make the Western Conference Finals more competitive. My point is that, yes, I'm not saying this is immediately a better team. My point is that this Cavaliers team is maxed out. Nothing's changing. The best version of this Cavaliers team would have been this year when they added guys like Kyle Korver who were great shooters.
Have a lot of dead weight on there. They need to get rid of. They need to get rid of Darren Williams, Kyle Korver,
doesn't matter, but
James Jones,
but no one
Channing
was saying,
Frye.
No one was crapping all over Mike Miller in Miami because he was contributing as a 3-point shooter to that team. My point is that even we've seen already that just getting a bunch of shooters isn't going to work like it did in Miami. I just feel like this Cleveland team's maxed out. Dan Gilbert's not the kind of guy who's going to go into the luxury multiple years.
I don't think he will, but that, you don't know.
You don't know, but he seems like he's not going to be the guy who has the... I'm not saying doesn't want to. I'm saying I don't know if he has the financial ability to do that year after year like Lacob and his venture capitalists
well, let me ask you this.
Or Magic Johnson and all the people who are obviously put behind Laker money. I'm not saying it's likely. I'm trying to find some kind of scenario to make this more interesting. Because it's not going to be interesting next year.
Is your filibuster over?
It is.
Okay. Would you be surprised at all next year if we have Golden State Cleveland round four?
No, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised. But my point is that would you be surprised also if that series is another sweep?
Okay, it wouldn't, but you know what? Take your chances. And at least you're going to be in the finals again.
That's fine, but... Does LeBron, and that's my point, I said it like 5 minutes ago, if LeBron's okay with going to the next 6 or 7 finals but losing all of them, fine. But
it's not like Paul George has been this dominant force in the playoffs.
But at the same time, the Paul George is the last player you thought of as being able to stop a LeBron James-led team in the playoffs. That's Paul George is the last player we thought of, correct? That Indiana Pacers team in those years in Miami,
because of Roy Hibbert.
I'm aware that he had good game. He had good games against the Heat. That's fine. Kendrick Perkins, when he was with the Celtics, used to shut down Dwight Howard and only Dwight Howard. That's not the reason they won the title. So, you know what I'm? You get what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
Okay. So Paul George was one of the only people who played with LeBron. Roy Hibbert wasn't guarding LeBron in those series, is my point. Paul George was guarding LeBron
But this is what Roy Hibbert was doing, though.
He was standing there like the 7-foot-2 goon he is.
Okay,
I'm aware of that.
Okay, and that's what it did. That completely shut down the lane.
It didn't matter, though. He weren't winning in the lane anyway. They were winning with three-pointers.
Okay, how are they winning with three-pointers, though, Rocky? It was because those three-point shooters were wide open because LeBron was running to the lane.
But why was LeBron not not in the lane. It wasn't that
because
LeBron's
Roy Hibbert was blocking everything.
It wasn't that Hibbert's shots were getting blocked every single bounce of those playoffs. It was not that Hibbert was sitting there in the lane blocking every shot. It's that Paul George was forcing LeBron into bad takes in the lane, and Hibbert was cleaning up on those. The fact that the Paul George's exterior defense in that series set up every single thing Roy Hibbert did against LeBron James well in that series.
Let's go to game six of the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Nashville Predators. I think that Nashville's going to win this game just because Pekka Rinne is just a better goaltender at home than he is in Pittsburgh. For some reason, I heard that was a Widener during the hard line was saying something about like how with some kind of like invasion of the body snatchers. I know he was making you play the X-Files music. I don't know if he's point shaving or what he's doing when he gets to Pittsburgh, but for some reason, he crosses that Allegheny River and he is no good, but he's fantastic in Nash Vegas. So I think that Nashville's going to win on Sunday. And then it's going to go to a game seven, and I think you're not going to see the same kind of whooping that you saw last night, but I think Pittsburgh's going to win game seven rather easily.
All right, the Penguins, it might not be the Sharks, but they smell blood in the water, and this one, it's going to be close. The fact that Pekka Rinne can stand on his head in Nashville and will, it'll keep it close, but I said it was my prediction, it was kind of off the top of my head, but I'm going to stick with it. Nashville keeps it close. It's scoreless. Sidney Crosby rips out the heart of the city of Nashville.
Right in front of PK Subban.
With 4 minutes left to go in the third period. That's my prediction for Sunday night. Sidney Crosby. You remember when Sidney Crosby got that open look against the United States and he had time to smile?
Yes.
Before he put it in when he was with Team Canada? That's going to be Sid the Kid on Sunday night. He's going to put in a goal and he's going to have time to smile, wink at the crowd, really rip the hearts out of Nashville before he puts it in the back of the net. That's Sid the Kid's going to do what he always does. He's literally going to earn the hatred of an entire city.
I know we talked about
on Sunday. It's going to be wonderful.
I know we talked about this with Nick Hamm, but what would you rather party in? Would you rather party in Cleveland or party in Nashville?
Here's the thing. I'd rather party in Nashville, but I'm more scared of Nashville fans. I don't know why. Maybe it's because they're in Tennessee, but I'm more afraid of Predator fans than I am of Cavalier fans.
Because they're
also, you got to remember,
Martin Kilcoin calls them a bunch of country bumpkins.
That there's that too. But you also
country buggers.
You also have to think about all those Cavaliers fans who are driving all the way up from Miami to watch LeBron, and so they're going to be tired.
There
are
too many of them.
They're going to be tired. No, just you got to think about all the people driving from every other place in to come watch LeBron in that series. They're not actually. There's not many Cavaliers fans. There's not many Cavaliers fans in that arena tonight. There's a lot of rich Warriors fans.
You're right.
Who flew in and want to see a sweep because I'm saying there's a lot of blue and gold in that place, I bet.
It was 2 years ago when the Warriors won the title. Our town's David Lee flew the entire team to Vegas and he paid for it. That was a pretty classy gesture considering that he lost his starting job. He was a starting power forward until he got injured, and that's when Draymond Green really came to the forefront. It was after the David Lee injury.
Trust me, David Lee said it before. He saw it coming.
Well, yeah.
He was the injury injury or not, he was not finishing that season as a starter.
Got big plans for the weekend, Rocchio, other than wearing your headband and playing a little basketball?
Yes. Not really. I'm sure I'll figure something out to do on Saturday. Probably Saturday I'll be celebrating the birthday. I almost forgot about it. I'll be celebrating a birthday of a former 590 host. I thought he was dead, but he actually has a birthday on Saturday. Mr. Denman. I thought he was dead. I read a story earlier
true.
Today.
Yeah, Dan Caesar,
I read a story in the
Dan Caesar did declare them dead.
I thought my good friend Chris and Travis were dead.
Chris and Travis watching over us right now
out,
from heaven.
Turns out Chris is having a birthday party. I was like, oh, thank God.
Well, you know what? I got a bone to pick. I thought Demon and I were boys. Maybe I should give him a bunch of grief.
I found out about it last night because guess what? I do not check Facebook well at all.
Is it in Farmington?
No, it's not in Farmington, but I'm just saying, I don't check Facebook very well.
Is that the party? Is it the party in Farmington?
No, it's actually down in the city, friendo.
Okay.
Got to come down to my neck of the woods. But no, but that's Saturday, celebrating a good friend's birthday, and then Sunday, I'm building my computer, and I could not be more excited.
You are such a dork.
Yeah, I am. I don't care. I'm my computer, a good friend of mine's putting together my computer. I just bought all the parts for it, and I'm pumped as
okay,
hell.
Okay, so he's building it. You're not building it.
Yeah, I just spent almost $1,000 on a bunch of random computer parts. You think I'm going to pick up the screwdriver and trust myself?
You made it sound like you were going to build it.
No, I'm going to be sitting there and he'll tell me things to do, and I will help here and there. But other than that, not really, no.
Yeah, I couldn't build one either. If I needed something like that done, I would give it to my brother. He is the IT department for the family.
Yeah, and by the way, through that one, it's a friend of mine, much closer friend of my brother's, though, and my brother pretty much like sent me a list, like, here, buy all these parts, and then my friend will put that together for you. So I was just the bank. I was the credit card, and I get to use the computer, which I'm okay with. It's a great situation, in my opinion.
Special thanks to our guests this evening, Nick Hand, Shane Young, Kevin Brackett, and Steve McKinstry. Hope everybody has a fantastic and safe weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday at 6 o'clock. Next up is the Friday Night Sports Jam with Blackstock & Company right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Have a great night.